Lamentations chapter number 3. A few verses here I want to read. Try not to be lengthy tonight, but I want to obey God in preaching tonight. I've got a burden the Lord laid on my heart a couple weeks back. And he gave me a message to preach, and I was just looking for the opportunity to preach it. And I really didn't even have it prepared completely, but the Lord helped me finish it out. If you got your Bible, Lamentations chapter number 3, we'll start in verse 1. This is Jeremiah here speaking. He says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath made me old. He hath broken my bones. Sounds like a lot of trouble, don't it? He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in a dark places, and as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. You've been in a place like that, you feel like you just can't get out of it. This is where he's talking about. He said, he hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways in hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. That's down to verse 10. I'm going to read just a little bit farther. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. This is what Jeremiah felt like his relationship with God and his troubles had got him into. His heartache. And verse number 12, he hath bent his bow and set a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness, and he hath made me to drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel and stones. He hath covered me with ashes. As thou hast removed my soul from afar off from peace, I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. You ever feel like you've had no hope? You ever felt like you was hopeless? You may be on cloud 9 headed for 10. This may not be for you tonight. But I've been in places before. Felt like there was no hope at all. You've gotten to a place where you was real low and it just seemed like you tried to touch God and God was nowhere to be found. This is what he was talking about. This is what Jeremiah is saying. He said, remember my affliction and my misery and wormwood and the gall. My soul then still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This verse, number 21, is all I like. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. And I want to preach to you on just a simple thought tonight on when your world falls apart. When your world falls apart, maybe you could bring that little illustration. A couple weeks back, I was driving down the road out in Stanford. And as I always do, I try to keep my eye on the road. But every now and then, something will catch my eye. And I'll look and I'll see, what in the world was that? But when I drove by this little illustration thing, the Lord dealt with my heart as I drove by. And as I drove by it, I said to myself, I said, what in the world was that? And then I drove by the next day, and I said, man, that looks like a globe. Looks like a world globe. And I said, but it don't look like it's all there. And I drove by it the next day, and the Lord said, you need to stop and pick that up. I said, why in the world do I need to pick that up for, Lord? He said, I want you to pick that up. He said, I need to tell you something. And you may think I'm crazy, but you join the rest of the crowd. And go ahead and sign up with them because I may be. But I picked it up. I stopped and picked it up. And I tried to look for the other part and couldn't find it. But as soon as I picked it up, the Lord said, I want you to preach on when your world falls apart. And he said, somebody's world has fell to pieces. And you say, that's crazy. That's a crazy illustration. But we know this is just an old globe here, and half of the world is here. And it's only got the bottom half of the world. But as the Lord dealt with me, I want to preach tonight on when your world falls apart. There's life is full of troubles. Job said, a man born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. And if you ain't experienced any trouble or any trials along the way, you're a blessed person. You hear me? If you've never stood up against the enemy, or you've never had the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. If you've never had the enemy come in like a flood against you, I would check my Christian experience, because I don't know if you're really in contact the way you need to be, because children of God face things in life. It's not an easy road that we're on. And it, here Jeremiah began to explain the troubles that he had been through. Jeremiah began, as we know that Jeremiah is a weeping prophet, he began to pour out his heart and complain. And there was distress. He had faced some setbacks along the way. You ever faced some setbacks? You ever thought maybe, you ever felt like in your life you should be way ahead of where you're at? I've been there. And I've looked and I said, man, you should be a lot farther along than where you're at. And Jeremiah here began to feel the pressure, and it began to feel the troubles of life. And Psalms 61 and 2 says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to that rock that is higher and high. Here Jeremiah was sobbing and weeping, and he was crying. He was wailing, and he was also doing some complaining. You ever complain? Huh? You ever complain? You ever walk around the house just complaining, and moping, groping, complaining, sometimes complaining about this and that? Jeremiah was in that place where his world had fallen apart, where he couldn't touch God the way he wanted to, where it seemed like that there was a brass wall between him and God, where it just seemed like his prayers were not getting as far as the ceiling. One guy said and told God, said, Lord, my prayers are not getting as far as the ceiling. He said, don't worry about it, son. He said, I'm God in between the ceiling and floor also. He said, I'm still God even there. And I appreciate that we can, it don't matter what you go through, it don't matter what your trial is. And your world may be in shambles, and you may feel like, and it may be not in shambles tonight. And you may not be going through it tonight. But somewhere along the way, you'll look back and you'll remember this message, and you'll remember that old piece of world that I had there. But the world has their ideals of claiming a hold of the world and things of this world. And in 1929, the stock market crashed. And during that time, men had put things in that market, and they'd lost all hope. Their world crushed. Their world fell apart. Some of the men, with drastic measures, took their lives by jumping from buildings and destroying, taking their lives, because they were under such a load. Their world had fell apart. The thing that they had put their hope in, it let them down. If you put your hope in this world, it will let you down. You hear me? If you trust in this world and the things of this world, it's just temporary. But that world that we're looking to is, we're looking to a city whose builder and maker is God. That Abraham looked for, a city whose builder and maker is God. You don't have to search for trouble. Trouble can find you. And like I said, man, it's born a woman, it's few days and full of trouble. But as it passed by that globe, the Lord told me I needed to preach this message. And I don't know who it's to. It may not be to you. Like I said at the beginning, you may be on cloud 9 and headed for 10 tonight. And I hope you are. I don't like to see nobody discouraged. I don't like to see nobody downhearted. I don't like to see nobody go through it, but we will go through it. But as you go through it, you don't have to go through it alone. You hear me? You don't have to stand by yourself. You've got the church. But more than the church, you've got a God that you can call upon. And you've got a God that you are the apple of his eye. You're the sheep of his pasture. And he cares for his own. And he cares enough. As Jeremiah was complaining out here, and in verse number 21, he said, "This I recall to my mind." Therefore, he said, "If all of my complaining," he said, "if all of this that I've listed so far," he said, "I still remember one thing. I still have hope. I still got hope." And as I talked to Marlo Baker the other day, Marlo was talking about some of the things he'd went through, and he said, "You think God you think I could ever get a hold of God, or God's gave me a way, and I could ever sin so far that God wouldn't hear me?" And I said, "Marlo, you've not made it to that place." I said, "Because God's still dealing with you." I said, "You still got breath. You're still breathing. You wouldn't be talking about God or even mentioning God if you got to that place." But I feel like with all my heart, there's still hope. But his world right now is crumbled. The things he trusted in, he told my boys that were in the van, he said, "Don't believe the devil's lie." He said, "The things of this world, he said, it'll let you down. He said, you can go after this and that." And he said, "It'll leave you high and dry." And it will. And your world will fall apart. The things that you trust in, it'll fall apart. But in Psalms 30 and 5, it said, "For his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life." And it says, "Weeping may endure for a moment, for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." I'm glad that when we go through things, that God, I read Warren Wiersbe, he said that when God's children go through things, he said when God's children go through the fire, he said God allows him to go through the fire. He said, but as they go through the fire, he said God keeps his eye upon the clock. And not only does God keep his eye upon the clock, but God keeps his hand upon the thermostat. Did you hear that? Meaning God won't put more on you than you can bear. Meaning with every temptation, God will make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. That you won't sink. That you won't be capsized. Do you know ships, the reason they've got the mark under the bottom of the ship, there's a line on them boats, and there's a line there on that ship that's all they can handle. If you put more on that ship and it goes under that line, there's a danger of it sinking. But we have no danger of us sinking, because his eyes is upon the sparrow and he watches over us. Day and night, his hand is upon us. His spirit is there to lift us up that we might be able to bear it, that we might make it all the way. I want to make it all the way, don't you? We don't have to walk away from it, but we can hold on to the end. The Bible says, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." But many people's world has fell apart. They've trusted in things. They've leaned on things. They thought for sure that this was the way to success. But it led to failure. It led to trials, heartache, and troubles. Someone's world has fell apart tonight. Tonight, there's no doubt a young lady somewhere on the streets tonight. Her world has fell apart. No doubt there's a young man somewhere on Skid Row tonight. His world has fell apart. He thought for sure that the lifestyle he was living, that he could continue living that way and there would be no consequences. But tonight, somewhere along the way, he's facing the consequences. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But I like the rest of the part. But the gift of God is eternal life. It'd be horrible if that was just the end of the verse where it said, "Well, the wages of sin is death." You'd be in danger. You'd be without hope. And I'd be without hope. But it says, finishing it up, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." To fall apart means to stop being effective or successful. You ever had anything fall apart? You ever had a car that just fell apart? You ever had a few of them? I've had several of them. And they just become ineffective. They fell apart. Little by little, this went wrong with it. And the next time I fixed that part, something else went wrong. That's what it's implying by falling apart. To stop being effective or successful. To unravel. You ever had anything unravel on you? Have you? I remember when I was just a young boy, and I was thinking about this message. I was a little boy in school there, and I had a shirt, and it had a little string right here. And that little string kept on picking out, and it was poking out, and it kind of bothered me. It bothered me so much that I'd picked at it until it unraveled on me. And guess what? It was picture day. Yes, sir. Picture day. And I got my picture tucked with a shirt that was unraveled. You say, how do you remember all that? Because I've got the picture to prove it. As a matter of fact, when I got a little older, I was embarrassed of it that I took a marker and filled it in. To fall apart, to be in bad condition, to be unable to deal with personal or emotional problems. When someone's world falls apart, they can't handle it. When something bad happens, it changes or alters a person's life. Brother Danny Taylor said it like this. He said big problems are cannibals. He said they eat all them small problems. When you run into a big problem, them small problems don't mean nothing. Is that right? That's exactly right. Did you know that there's upon man, there's an atmosphere pressure upon man daily? And I read it was 14 pounds per inch. So daily we're pressed already in this life. That. Pressure on you already. You wake up in the morning, there's pressure pushing upon you. You say, I don't know why I'm feeling down. I'll tell you why you're feeling down. The atmosphere, this world is pulling you down. It has no hope for you to want you to rise. But this atmosphere pressure is going to leave one of these days, and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And even the dead bodies that's in the ground, there's going to be a rapture. And they're going to come up out of the ground because the atmosphere loses pressure and will rise. The dead in Christ will rise when? First. And then we which remain to be caught up afterwards. I don't know why I put that in there, but it's in there. Not even in my notes. But there's pressure upon each and every one of us. There's a pressure that would like for you to crumble. It'd like for you to fall apart. Daily pressure. Are you heavy laden? Are you heavy laden tonight? Is there something got you down tonight? Jesus calls out, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Upon you, hear me and be blessed. That's what he calls out. Is your world falling apart? Is there things in your life that's sinking you? Is there things that's crumbling at you, pushing at you and pulling at you? Somebody's world's falling apart tonight. And it may not be those that's hearing me tonight. Here. Maybe some out, maybe your neighbor. Maybe your cousin along the way. Maybe your brother or sister. The mother giraffe takes the little giraffling, and that's what it's called, the giraffling. I was made fun of one time. They said, there's no way they call it giraffling. That's exactly what it is. It's a giraffling. And they take that little giraffling, and she knocks it down, and it gets back up. And when it gets back up, she knocks it down again. And it gets back up over and over a period of time. What do you think she does that for? She does that so it can become strong and get strength. It's not that you've been knocked down, but it's whether you get back up or not is the reason. If you get knocked down and don't get back up, you're defeated. But if you gain a little strength to you, you'll get back up again. Little by little, you'll get stronger. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll allow the Spirit of the Lord to lift up his standard against him. And that Spirit will rise in your heart. And you'll be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And this world won't have such an effect upon us. The world's got an effect upon the church, it seems. It wants to crush the church. It wants to wreck our world. But this is not our world. This is not my home. I'm only a passing through. My treasure, the song says, is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I just don't feel at home in this world anymore. And as a Christian, that should be what we say. This is not my world. And yeah, this world is going to be wrecked, and it's going to be demolished one day. But I'm looking forward to a brighter day. One song says, upward mobility. Lord's been good to me. I just can't wait to get away. I'm just living in my temporary home. How about it tonight? He says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Psalms 55, 4 through 6, says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Honor, horror, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. There's times that I face troubles and I face trials. I wish I could just fly away and be at rest. But he's not ready for me to fly away yet. You hear me? We got to face it. You got to face it in the morning. In the morning we'll get up and there'll still be pressure upon you. But it's up to you what you do with that pressure. Do you allow it to pull you down? Do you allow it to sink you low? Or do you lift up your head and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Huh? I'm going to make it. No matter what comes my way. I'm going to press on. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as onward bound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. And this world is pulling and it's pushing. And I wrote a few things down. And my world has fell apart a few times as a Christian. My own personal world has fell apart a few times. And I wrote some things down here. After I got saved, a year after I got saved, it was February 12, 1991. My sister was killed in a car accident down on 30. And she left a little girl, which was Tara. She left her, and she's only 6 months old. Me and mom raised her. But after she got killed that night, I remember me and my brother, Jerry, laying in bed, crying. Our world had fell apart. It had crumbled underneath her feet. We didn't know that morning. I didn't know that evening. That evening, me and Jerry had been going to a revival down at Pittsburgh. And I told my sister, I said, won't you come to church with us tonight? So they're having a revival down here at so-and-so's church. And she said, I ain't got clothes to wear at church. I said, just come as you are. I said, Lord, don't worry about that. I said, he deals with your heart. I said, he's wanting to help you, wanting to save you. I didn't know that night, 4 or 5 hours later, that we'd get the news that she'd been killed in a car accident. My world had fell apart. So there it was, and we pressed through that one. With God's help. I don't tell these stories for sympathy. And I don't tell these stories unless God tells me to tell these stories. But it wasn't about a year and a half later, December 27th. That's what tonight is. 1993. Jerry was up behind her house in a building. And something caught on fire. But he was burnt from head to toe. 97% of his body from head to toe, him burnt black. They said it was a gas fire or something, but they done a toxicology report on him, and they couldn't find nothing in his system. But he was burnt everything off of him. I went up to the bank side where he was sitting at. He was sitting there burnt black from head to toe. He was sitting talking just like I'm talking to you. And I said, Jerry, I said, have you prayed and made things right with God? He said, I have, Maynard. So I made things right with God. So I said, we're going to get you some help. He said, Maynard, you carry me. So I reached down and I picked him up in my arms and burnt. And carried him down the house. Got a blanket. We set him on a blanket and he wanted a glass of water. Got him a glass of water. He took the back of his hand and lifted up that water and drank that water. That's all he wanted was a drink of water. I didn't realize how bad a shape he was in. Brother Greg, he was with us down at Vanderbilt, Tennessee Hospital. He came down there. Matter of fact, you drove us down there. I appreciate that. But that night, I didn't realize it was going to turn out like that. When he got burnt like that, my world fell apart. I didn't know what to do. Didn't know what the next night. The next night he died down in Tennessee. There we was. My sister died. My brother died. And I was smack dab right in the middle of both of them. My older brothers and stuff, they're older than me, and I really didn't have much to do with them. They were brothers, but just the age difference. Me and Lisa and Jerry were more close together. My world had fell apart, Brother Merle. Fell to pieces. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to fix it. For years, I didn't know how to fix it. I'd pray and couldn't get a hold of God. And for months, and I'd ask God, and I said, I need help. And I'd cry. And Jerry had come up before he got burnt, and he'd try to pray and try to get back to God because he walked away from God. And he'd pray and grab his hair and pull his hair, and he said, I can't feel God. But I believe with all my heart that night, him in that shape, God had mercy upon him. Because I was going through it, and Brother Greg was sitting over here in the pew, and Brother Jarvis said, if you got a need, and he said, you're needing help, he said, get somebody you got confidence in to come pray with you. I sat there. My world is tore apart. I sat there, and I thought, I ain't going to have no. And I said, there's no hope for me. Because I'd prayed, and I'd cried, and I couldn't feel God. I'd try. I'd read my Bible. I'd stay up at night. The devil, with all his attempts, I'd see things and hear things, and the devil made a mark. He'd even told me, he said, you're next. That's what he told me, Aaron. I heard his voice. And he said, you're next. And as I began to try to pray, and the Lord dealt with me, he said, ask Brother Greg to go pray with you. Somebody you have confidence in. Said Greg come up here and he prayed with me. And as he was praying, he had his hand on me and he prayed, and I heard him speaking in tongues. And you probably heard the story over and over, but as he spoke in tongues, I heard exactly what he said. And I'm not Ed Miller. I don't know Greek. I don't know different languages as he does. All I know is the Spirit of God spoke to me. Weep no more for Jerry. And my world had fell apart. God had put it back together again. Do you hear me? He can put your world all back together again. I couldn't find the other half to this world, this piece here. But he can make it over again. And he can make it new again. And that light, that darkness that was upon my heart and life dispelled and left. You said, is that all you've been through? No. November the 12th, 1999, 6 months after me and my wife got married, I was working and driving a van over toward Jackson County. I don't tell these things most of all. I don't usually tell them at all. But I was working, and the day before, we had put brake fluid in the van. And I told her, that thing needs brake fluid. I said, it's a death trap. I said, it's a bad. I said, the brake's going down. I said, we need to take it. And she wanted me to drive it and go get the brake fluid. And I said, no, get so-and-so to go with me, and we'll get the brake fluid and put it in here and pump the brakes up and get them back where they need to be. So we did that. So the next day, the other boy got in the van. He drove it until up to 12 o'clock, and he had it loaded up with copy paper, so I wouldn't have to load 30 cartons of copy paper. I got in that van and began to drive that van. As I drove it, we was headed over toward Jackson County. You probably never heard this story about me. But as I was headed over toward Jackson County, come around a curve and a sharp stretch, there's a car, a truck in front of me, had stopped. I'm asking my brakes to stop. No brakes. Swerved to miss him. Caught the back end of his truck, and another vehicle was coming toward me. We hit head on. I got out. There's a vehicle down in the little valley sitting on its wheels. I climbed down in there, and there's a man in the vehicle, and he's trapped. Head on. Me and him hit head on. I asked him, I said, "Are you all right?" And he said a few things. And then we called the ambulance. And I got sick, and I didn't even know I was even hurt, and I wasn't worried about me. Next morning after I went to the hospital and got checked out, they barely checked me out. But I went to the hospital, and after we got home that next day, I called to check on that man. I called over Jackson. I said, "How was this man that was in this accident?" Now my world falls apart. I said, "Sir, that man died yesterday." My world fell apart. My brother, oldest brother, he said, "I don't know why you had to go through all this stuff. I don't know why God's putting you all through this." And I said, "God knows what he's doing. I may not know." But even as a sinner man, he was like, "I don't know why you had to go through all this by yourself." But the man passed away. And after he passed away, I don't know why I'm bringing all this out, but this, my world had fell apart. It's the reason I'm preaching this. So I went for about a month there, and I started having some physical problems of my own. I didn't realize it was due to the accident, but it was. And I'm not getting any of that. I went for 15 or 16 years with a problem that the Lord fixed about a year ago. But all through that time, I suffered. But I give God the glory that he can put your world back together again. You say, "My world hasn't fell apart." No, but you probably know somebody that has. Daniel prayed for 21 days. No answer. But wasn't it God wasn't answering him? God told him, said, "Daniel, I heard you the first time you prayed. But a messenger from Satan had buffeted your soul that you couldn't hear it. Whenever I was going through them trials, God heard me the first time I prayed." I believe that. He could have fixed me that first time I cried out. But the devil had bids upon me, because he was wanting to wreck my world. He was wanting to wreck the world and the thing that I'd held on to. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. You may not be going through anything. But God's eyes is upon the sparrow, and he still watches over you. He watches over you every day. He wakes you up in the morning, starts you on your way. He don't have to, but he does. We ought to thank God that he has spared us over and over. He's brought us through. If it had not been for the Lord's mercies, we'd been consumed. If it had not been for the Lord's mercies, I'd been dead in that vehicle accident. But God had mercy. God had grace. You believe that? I believe you can draw nigh to God. Then when you draw nigh to God, it's reciprocating. It's not just a one way, but when you draw nigh to him, he automatically draws nigh to you. When you seek him, it's not a game where you seek and you can't find. But when you seek him with all your heart, then you can find him. You know God is revealed in the backside of our deserts? You believe that? Through your trials. Through your heartaches. You want to know where I've learned most about God? It's through all my trials. Through all my heartaches. There was a song, and Brother Jonathan, you sing it a lot, and as I prepared over this, and I always said to myself, I said, if I ever write a book, which I probably never will, I've tried, I've wrote a few pages and put it in a drawer, and that's as far as I've got. But I said, if I ever write a book, I want to entitle it this song, "Through It All, I've Learned to Trust in Jesus." And it says, "I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation," Brother Jonathan, you sing his song, "God gave blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong." If your worlds fell apart, it's only to make you over again. It's only that you could trust more in God. It's only all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. He's got a reason behind it. Ain't you glad God knows all things? I'm glad we serve a God that is still upon the throne. He didn't get voted out in the last election. No. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still high and lifted up. He still hears His people's cry. He meets our desire. He's still searching for that soul that's lost. He's still supplying every need according to His riches and glory. And He's not went bankrupt. He's not dependent upon stocks and bonds and IRAs. No, but it's through His riches and glory. That's why we can stand. That's why we can be bold. That's why we can declare that this generation for the Lord. That's why we can hold on in the midst of troubles and trials. Because it's not in anything I've done. No, sir. No, ma'am. It's not a good that I've done, lest any man should boast. But it's all through Jesus. It's all because of His hand. If it had not been for His hand, if it had not been for His mercies, if it had not been for His grace, if it had not been for His word that I could read and study and apply to my life, I'd been in trouble. I'd been of all men most miserable. But I'm glad we have a comfort. Not only a comfort, but He sent us a comforter, us that believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that He'll comfort us. He'll uphold us with His right hand. When your world falls apart, you can still trust Him. You may not be able to trace Him, but you can trust Him. You might not be able to look around and say, "Where's God in this? I don't know where God's at." But you can hold on to His hand, that unseen hand. I remember Rebecca sings that unseen hand of God. That unseen hand of God is what directs us and what leads us and guides us. And I'm so glad tonight, though my world has fell apart many times, my God has never fell apart. My God has never let me down. I've had some troubles. Yeah, I've had some trials. And people will face troubles and trials, but yet God has been faithful. You believe that? God has been faithful through it all. And from here on, He'll be faithful. And I'm looking forward to what God's got. And tonight I just come to preach you just a simple thought that God laid upon my heart, and what God told me to preach is, has your world fallen apart? Is your world fell apart? Is there something that you trust in, you thought it should have went this way, but it didn't go that way? You ever had hopes for something thinking this is exactly how it's going to happen? You ever been let down? Maybe you got let down for Christmas. I don't know. Maybe you didn't get what you was expecting under the tree. But more than that, more than just a trinket or a treasure, You ever been let down by, you ever had somebody let you down? Somebody you trusted in? Somebody you esteemed highly? Men will let you down, but the Master will never let you down. But He will lift you up. When I am weak, He is strong. Somebody come piano, please. I come to not burn my heart to you. I didn't come to bring sad, gloomy stories, even though there were a bunch in this. But I just come telling you my heart. And I don't open it up much as I did tonight. Because every now and then, Brother Greg, it still hurts. But I have this confidence. Bible says, cast not away thy confidence with hath great recompense of reward. I have this confidence that one day I'll stand before Him. And when I stand before Him, I won't be doing much standing. I'll fall before Him. And when I fall before Him, I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Though there's been times I have not done well, but I have this confidence that He that keepeth Israel neither sleepeth nor slumbereth. He that will keep that which He will keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day when my world has crumbled. I may come down at the end of this thing and my world may crumble. Everything I hoped in may fall apart. It's happened before. But this is not my home. If I have hope in this world alone, I am of all men most miserable. If this is all I've got of the world, if all I've got is the world and the things of the world, I'm in trouble. But my expectation is higher. He that fashioned heaven smile a while, brother, sister. It's going to be worth it all. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all when we stand before Him. When we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He says, enter in everlasting life. It'll be worth everything. Then we can rejoice. But we not only should rejoice over there, but we should rejoice over here. He said, rejoice not that the enemy is subject to you, the devils. But He said, rejoice that your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got a reason to rejoice. You've got a reason to smile. You've got a reason, though all the pressure is against you, though the atmosphere every day is against you, though men may slay you and say all men are evil and speak all men are against you, you still have a reason to shine in this dark world. You still haven't expected in. God's expecting something out of us. That's why He is working on us the way He is. We are the clay and He is the potter. Is it not lawful for God to do what He wants to with His own? How is it tonight with you? Has your world crumbled before? Is it shattering right now a little bit? But if it ain't, can we all find us a place to pray on this altar tonight? Find us a place to pray and say, God, my world may not be falling apart tonight. But Lord, what if I face something tomorrow? What if I get horrible news tomorrow? What am I going to do about it? Am I going to turn my back on you, or am I going to hold on? Am I going to cleave to you, God? Or am I going to walk away? It makes a difference. Brother Greg talked about resolve. That's what it is. Through everything, hold on. Don't give up. Don't give in. It's going to be worth it. Through everything, to hear him say, well done. Well done. You fought the fight. You stood the test. Well done. They spoke against you, but you held on. Well done. They lied on you, but you continued. Well done. The odds were stacked against you, but you pressed on. Well done. It'll be worth it.